Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and our featured guest today. This is The Good Life. Welcome. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. You know, the divorce rate in America is over 50%. I mean, the society has come to that place. But get this now. The divorce rate among those who say they are Christians is over 50%. Actually, it's worse than what the secular world experiences. Now, this is disturbing. And to say the least, I mean, even the divorce among people in the military, having gone through war, through the horrors and the difficulties that come with it, it's also very high. Divorce is something that has to be talked about in our lives today because we're talking about the very fabric of society, the family. The family unit. I mean, that's the core, the crux of any society, any growing society. And when there's a breakdown in marriage, and anybody that's married knows that it is not easy. It takes a lot of work. And as you listen to us today, we're going to do part two of a special series called Letting Go, because Kimo and Debbie Piceno, who explained their story of how they got to know each other when they were children, growing up on a military base. Both their fathers were Marines, and they got together. They eventually got married, and Kimo became a Marine, and Kimo went to war, and Kimo experienced, and Debbie experienced the effects of war. Before we come back to this topic, I want to also let you know that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio show is because God loves you and He knows you and He knows exactly what you're going through right now. It may be at a point where you don't even know what to say anymore, what to say about a marriage, what to say about a relationship, something going on with work. Maybe your finances are so out of order, off kilter that you feel like running away. I mean, things can be that bad. Maybe a child is so unbearable, you tried everything and you don't know what else you can do. You feel helpless and desperate. Well, that's where God sends us into your life to let you know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Kimo and Debbie Piceno have experienced a breakup in their marriage. And in our first part, we talked about post-traumatic stress disorder. And Kimo, Debbie, I want to welcome you back. And as we talk about your divorce and how it came about, but also how God began to heal it. And then we want to talk about your family too, your boys and the exploits of what they're doing there on the football field. Take us back, Kimo. You were mentioning about what PTSD and the kind of effect it had on you and your marriage. Take us back, give us a refresher, and explain to us what happened.
Well, you know, this is all retrospective. At the moment, when you're living it, you don't realize the things you're doing to your loved ones. And, you know, like they always say, you always hurt the ones closest to you, and I was doing that. I was very hard on myself, so subsequently I was hard on my marriage, hard on my wife, hard on my children. I expected a lot out of myself, therefore I expected a lot out of my marriage, out of my family. I grew up in such a way that when things were so difficult, the only way to get through them is to push through them. I didn't look towards God as much as I found a way within myself to push through, and I expected my wife and children to do the same. And so this disorder, this post trauma, just builds up and builds, and it festers and it festers. And along with, you know, the dynamics of the other things that have gone on in my life, the molestation and so forth, it just builds up in such a manner that, and you're trying to control it, and then all hell breaks loose.
You know, Kimo, you mentioned the molestation, mm-hmm. sexual molestation, and that how that built up earlier. We had played that mm-hmm. that video, mm-hmm. How that rage in you became such mm-hmm. a drive to physical pain really meant nothing to you because mm-hmm. of the hurt that you felt. Describe mm-hmm. that to us.
I learned at a very early age that I worked out so hard, even as a young boy, that someday I knew that this would pay off, that no one's ever going to hurt me again. And I lived my life like that, just train.
How old were you when that happened?
8 to 12.
About 4 years.
And I believe that it happened even earlier. There's little, for anyone that has gone through that, can attest that you get these little pictures and in my life, I'm like, what is that? Why is that there kind of thing? You get just these little snapshots and they'd go away. And that's why I believe I know it even happened at a very young age, somewhere between 4 or 5-ish. Whether it was a gesture or what have you, there were small things that happened there. You want control of your life. And I spent my life chasing my innocence. Like I said, this is all retrospective. Chasing my, trying to hold on to something that was no longer there. And I know part of that rage was trying to protect my children. That, you know, hey, you better train. You better take care of yourself. You better be smart. You better be quick-witted. You better walk this world circumspectly in such a way that you're aware of the wiles of the enemy of people, that this doesn't happen to you. And I know by doing that, I was actually creating greater harm to my children. I didn't want nothing to happen to them, so I was hard on them. And in doing so, Debbie was trying to protect them. You know, go easy on them, be easy on them, you know. And then along with all the other things in life, you know, we had a wonderful home, wonderful family. And I was in control of it all, so to speak. I was in control of it all.
You know, Kimo, you said that different times, you know, it would come up. You would try to bury it, mm-hmm. you know. And, mm-hmm. And during those times, have you opened up to talk to anyone about it?
Not until it was too late. Not mm-hmm. until after Debbie decided she was leaving. And I just kind of just started blurting out in desperation all these reasons why I was acting out. And she was like, okay, go get help. You know, she had already put those walls up. She made her mind up that she wasn't turning around. And for all she knew, they were just excuses at that time. Mm-hmm. You know, they were lies. Who knows? So I can't blame her. Mm-hmm. You know, but her mind was already made up that she was going to divorce me.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of maybe couples that are going through what you're going through, mm-hmm. what you went through. Mm-hmm. And so you think that maybe if you talked about it or you had a safe place Absolutely. Where you could open up, maybe it could have yes. prevent you folks from yes. getting a divorce?
And that's where we talk about post-traumatic stress disorder, where we talk about having the struggles in a marriage. Even if you think your marriage is perfect, you need to be involved in a small group, a grace group. You need to, because there's going to be small things that could turn into big things. Mm-hmm. They could be things that just start or exaggerate. It could just be a miscommunication. You don't think very much of a particular incident that took place where your spouse does. And going back first and foremost to answer your question, yes, I should have went to some form of counseling. I should have went to get help.
Now, you're talking about the molestation part, too, right? And being able to process. Did you know, Debbie?
No, I did not know.
Okay, so you didn't even know what was driving this man to live with such a furious compulsion of drive, excellence, rage. And rage. Yeah.
Right. And I, you know, did think some of it was from after the war, because there was nights he'd wake up and, you know, be verbalizing things and be in a posture that I'm like, oh my gosh, I think he thinks, you know, he's back there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I of course, and I think what made it harder for us in the transition is, like he mentioned, we went from military life out to civilian life in an instance. So he didn't go through any type of, you know, what is it called, decompressing or what's it called?
I can't think of the word. Programs but, now, but yeah.
Debrief. He didn't, you know, get to maybe, you know, at least speak about all that stuff and know that he's not the only one. Mm-hmm. He carried that on, you know. And when I would ask questions, you know, I would get no answer or it would be misdirected. Like, it's like, oh, because you did this.
So, and that was like how you were saying in a previous segment that you just thought, you know, I don't need that. I'm going to get back into life. Right. You know, 3 days later, I'm working construction.
Yeah. Right.
You know, was there somewhere in you where you felt like it just kind of shut that part off? If you kept yourself busy and kept yourself driven.
Right. And what it really comes down to, I was lying to myself. We all tend to, as adults, lie to ourselves in some way to cope. And that's what I did. I was suppressing it. It was there somewhere, but I wouldn't deal with it. So, and you know, it's just that cloud. It would come and you somehow put it away, and it would come and you put it away. And I filled my life with substitutes, keeping myself busy, you know, training hard. I became a bodybuilder. And so that's where I started focusing my attention, my drive. I'd operate on 4 hours of sleep, you know, as Debbie, and I prided myself on that. I don't need sleep. So I put in long hours at work. And I trained hard, but I always said, well, you know, the kids are asleep. That's when I would train. I would always come up with ways, okay, as long as I'm not taking time away from the family, but I wasn't cultivating my family. I wasn't cultivating my relationship with Debbie, not truly doing it to get this stuff to aerate, get it up to the surface and deal with it. I thought I was. I was doing it in my own way, in my own terms.
And sometimes when we live like that, it's a frenetic lifestyle.
Yes, you hit it right on the head.
And when we talk about we don't aerate, there's really no time to process. And like you talk about living a lie, or we lie to ourselves, we kind of create an illusion of, okay, this is our new reality. And yet there's so much stuff under there that's suppressed that doesn't come out. We don't allow it to come out. But therein lies the grace of God when things begin to dismantle. And when they dismantle, the pieces begin to fall. And there's times when we feel like we're able to control certain things, that if the pieces fall, we will control the falling of the pieces. That we're able to do that.
Yeah.
But in reality, when the pieces really fall, we don't know when it really falls until it's out of control. And then we crack. When we crack, when we break, and finally, it's almost like at that point, the Lord says, now you can be healed. Debbie, I'm really interested to hear what the cracking was like for you. What brought you to the point where you said, you know, I can't take this anymore? What was that moment like for you? What was that series of things like for you when we hear Kimo, the driven man, but then we also know what happened to him now when he was victimized as a child, but then how you as a wife not even knowing about it. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, Debbie Piceno will share her side, because it led to a divorce. What would be a point of finality with many families and many lives, and really even in the process of wanting to heal through a divorce, there's that lingering, what could have been, what would have been. And I'm sure they thought about it, because they had a long time to think about it, years and years to think about it. But the good news too is that we're on the other side of things, and they're sitting here in front of Alfredo and me as a married couple, divorced and remarried. Huh, it happens, you know. When we come back, we'll hear from Debbie and Kimo Piceno. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
When you go to a wedding, you look at a newly married couple, and they got the world and the great future ahead of them. I mean, it's just a grand moment to see. And I think we all appreciate that. If you just go to a wedding, you see it's hopeful.
Right.
And then, you know, however long the honeymoon lasts. I mean, some last longer than others. Some are pretty short-lived. But then the reality begins to set in of what our life together is really like. And then over time, you know, things can either work through it together, or things become so overwhelming that, you know, you don't know what to do. And sometimes you feel like the only option is to call it quits. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Alfredo Canencia and our featured guest today, Kimo and Debbie Piseno. Kimo was a member of the United States Marines Special Forces, a member of the Marines Reconnaissance. And he was also recruited by USC out of high school to play football. He's been in high levels of work. Wherever he's gone, he's operated at the highest level. And he's even pushed beyond that even further. Debbie is a mother, a wife. She is the IT systems analyst there at Chevron. She was a member of the Air National Guard also. Just to give you a little background on the family, as you're tuning in, you're listening and you certainly want to get the rest of the clip and maybe even part one of this two-part special entitled Letting Go, because Kimo and Debbie are sharing about how God led them to let go and to surrender to Him. You can get that at thegoodlifehawaii.org, free downloads. Pass it on to someone.
Yeah, you know, Debbie, as we were listening to Kimo's story and his performance, just working hard to try to cope with some of the things he was going through, when did it fall apart? You know, the marriage just kind of coming apart because you had to make a decision.
Right. You know, it actually probably took a couple years, I would say, because like Kimo mentioned, he went into construction right away after Marine Corps, but then got into corrections. And that work environment actually enabled a lot of his behaviors of controlling, because it's a very, you know, controlled environment. He has all this power there. So it kept facilitating that. And at the same time, we actually, he was 6 hours away from where we, our home base was, if you will. So he was commuting home. We were actually kind of apart for most part during the month. We'd come home every other weekend, go visit each other. So that kept us separate in a way. And if we didn't have the military background, that would have even been harder to cope with, because there were other families trying to do this commuting thing, and, you know, they couldn't deal with it. You know, so we would see a little bit of that. And when we were together, it'd be because we haven't been together all week and stuff. So, you know, you're tolerating it a little more. Then he finally transfers into, you know, Kern County area where we were. And it's just the day in, day out of, we would keep, if you will, change stepping, putting other things in our lives to busy us. You know, obviously we've had more kids since then, total of four boys, buying toys, if you will, everything from jet skis to motorcycles to, you know, so we're just always doing stuff. And, you know, we were even, we belonged to a First Assembly of God church at that time, and we were Sunday school teachers. So to me, it was, we kept avoiding our real issues, but it would always come up just in day-to-day activities. And, you know, then me, if you will, trying to ask, okay, what's going on here? You know, is there something deeper? Because I don't feel like it's, you know, what you're telling me is the problem. There's something else, but you're not telling me. You're taking it out on me.
There's some kind of disconnect here.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's not lining up, where a lot of times I'd be like, the things you're saying sound like you're talking about yourself, not me. Or, you know, just the, if you will, the description that Kimo used of being hard on the boys, expecting them to, you know, excel at everything they've done, even if it's the first time they wrestled, you know, just all that. And when he wouldn't respond, or, you know, would just, well, I'll go to work then, or, you know, now I'm going to bodybuild, so now we have something else to focus on. We just kept putting it back, but it just, it, I can't even remember the actual, you know, moment that I knew, but it was building up. And I did reach out, I remember, to my mom, because I was like, you know, I know this isn't of God for us to, you know, separate and divorce, you know, and I know deep in our hearts we didn't want that. This isn't what we wanted. But it took that for us to both listen to God, I think, you know, when I look back now. And in fact, I mean, I didn't even, I think, confront you about it. We talked about it back and forth, but I can't even remember now. I think I left in the middle of the night. I mean, it got to that point where I knew this is it.
And you had the boys with you too?
Yes, I took all four boys with
you. You took all four boys?
Yes.
What happened, Kimo? I mean, for you, you know, just like leaving in the middle of the night, I mean... Yeah. What was going on when you, how did it settle in?
Well, I wanted to fix it. I wanted to fix it. And how did it settle in? It took months for it to settle, because I was in denial. And I think prior to that denial, we were both in denial. That's why we didn't seek help. Right. We all suffer. But I think as people of the community, people of the church, think, gosh, I can't go to anybody with this. You know, what are they going to say? What are they going to do? Shameful, guiltful.
And you guys were teachers, right?
Yeah,
Sunday school teachers.
Yeah.
That's really key, because, I mean, Alfredo, we know. It can be a real, actually, it can be a really weird charade we play, you know, in church, you know, because you know what to say, you know how to act, but man, there's a duplicit lifestyle going on.
And we did that. Yeah, we were living the charade, the facade, and put up. And the worst part about that is when you go to disrobe that, then it gets chaotic again, really terrible.
Right.
You know, nothing of God, you know, no true relationship. We were no longer searching for him first. We were no longer living for him first, but always putting a Band-Aid on things. And that, from my perspective, I was putting Band-Aids on things, doing things as such. And like Debbie said, she did ask me, but I remember I didn't, in my mind at the time, she really don't want to know what's going on. She really can't handle what's going on in my head and in my heart. And so I kept it. Like I said, that's all retrospective, because I at the time, I at the time, like, she doesn't deserve to know, but I can look back and look at myself, and I wanted to share. I didn't know how to release. I didn't know, you know, because I know once I did, it just all come out all at once. It just, and but subsequently, it did explode, but not in the way that I wanted it to. It came out in just a terrible way. And it was terrible. Debbie left, tried to call her to come home. You know, and because it happened prior to that, she had left for a little bit. We'd get good together. And then it happened like two, three times. And then finally, that's when that was it. And I knew that it was it.
Yeah, I want to ask this one part, too. Why didn't you feel like you could talk to somebody at church?
My opinion, the church we were going to, and being Sunday school teachers for, it wasn't a personal environment. It was
This was in California. California.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
It wasn't like, it was real sterile.
Yeah. It wasn't. Debbie hit it right on the head. It was very sterile. Wasn't personal. It was a show. That whole charade. As we got closer into the ministry, we were highly upset at the facades. We were highly upset. Mm. And I think that's where the devil began to put his split in. Because then we started questioning everything, the motives. Why aren't these people just in love with the Lord? Why aren't they just doing the work? Why do they have to backbite and talk about each other? Mm. And that's when things just was getting crazy. And we hit a wall. We could no longer go there to work through the processes of ourselves, because we were immediately thrown into the Sunday school ministry and so forth, and we were no longer allowed to work on ourselves.
It's amazing how sometimes Christians can just continue to perform and not really be transparent about things that they're struggling with. And, and maybe, you know, there's some listeners listening in today, maybe they're performing, and, you know, and they're doing a good job, but somehow they're not being true to their hearts.
Right, because you get caught up in, you know, okay, I need to volunteer to help the church. I need to, you know, take part in the church. But are you being fed? What are you doing for yourself as a person and even as a married couple? And that's where we didn't get fed. There was no, you know, groups to go to talk about this or, you know, any of that. And that's,
I mean, you're not only a visual, you're an audible hope. Coach, you've heard me say this many times. Yeah. I wish people could see, you know, the looks on the, I mean, there's still reflections, recollections of living back. I mean, there's deep pain that I see in you, kind of like a wishing, you know, we didn't have to go through it. I wish we learned these things earlier. I wish that, you know, if I knew it back then, what I know now, and yet you say there's this burden that you carry, Kimo, and we talked during the break. That you have to share it, and as you share it, you feel it. But you know, maybe this could be a salve, soothing, a little bit of soothing, that someone today will not have to go as far as you.
Absolutely,
because they can, you know, at the least, when we talk about church, they can know that it isn't supposed to be that way,
That's right. There are
Christians, that there are churches that really are. And by the way, it's not perfect. There's no perfect church, because it's wherever human beings are. I mean, there's a lot of imperfections. but with Christ there, the beauty of it is He deals with our lives in the ugly part. That's why we love Him, isn't that?
And that you just hit on something. Being a believer, even then, I gave the Lord my best. I didn't give Him the ugly. I kept that to myself. I was working on that.
You didn't let go of that.
No, I was working on that. I was giving Him my best in church. I was giving Him my best in the Sunday school teaching. I was performing again. But that part, I was going to solve. I was going to work it out. And the Lord wants it all and give it to Him. I'm not ashamed. That's why we're here today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not ashamed of what happened, because you know what? I have my wife back.
It's awesome, because, you know, God had to allow things to happen.
Yeah.
In the process to get to that ugly place where you didn't want to, you know, you wanted to cope and do it by yourself.
Yeah.
But I think when you let go of that and just allow the Lord to come in, then He begins to work His grace in that area of your life.
You know, Coach, you know, we always talk about, you know, hey, give God your best. Give right. God, just give God your best, man. Right. And I think today,
yeah,
the Lord is saying, give me your ugly.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
And I think the message today is, give God your ugly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give him your worst.
Yeah.
Give yes. him your agony. Give him your brokenness. Give yes. him your pain.
That's right.
That's when you really see who the Lord is
yes.
and what, yeah. what the mighty marvel of all the greatness of God is yeah. seen in the depravity of life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I'm going to start preaching,
yeah.
but this is Kimo and Debbie Piceno's time. And we're going to take a quick break now, but when we come back, I want to talk about what happened in the restoration process.
Yeah, that's so awesome.
I want you to take us back to Mililani, watching those boys perform, doing their exploits, and then how the Lord brought you guys back together. Because I think someday, somebody today is thinking, maybe.
Perhaps. Yeah.
Maybe. Huh, Coach? Maybe if it could happen with them.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
God could restore my marriage.
That's right.
Maybe he could bring my husband back to me.
Right.
Maybe he could bring my wife back to me. Maybe God will hear my prayer and speak to their heart.
Yes.
And open their heart. Maybe there's hope. Kimo and Debbie Piceno, that's why they're here. There is hope. Stay with us.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinenen Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Oh, when you go to church, you know, you put on your best, right? I mean, you comb your hair, you brush your teeth, you make sure the makapiapia is taken out of your eyes, and you know, at least you can put up a good show. I mean, of course, you want to be respectable. Of course, right? But there is a part of it, I wonder often, Are you broken? Are you hurting? Or am I broken? Am I hurting? What about when your hair is disheveled and maybe you got the makapiapia in your eye and you don't brush your teeth and things look really haggard? Because in your life, everything has failed. Everything you tried to control, everything you tried to develop, you realize there's no significance of that anymore because something is really, really missing and there's a gaping hole in your heart. Well, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I know that doesn't sound like a whole bunch of good life, but we're going to get there. Good luck. I'm here with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. I call him Coach. He is a coach. He's a coach of life. He's a coach of sports. And he's my co-host today. And our featured guests are Kimo and Debbie Piseno.
Yeah. Kimo, you know, you was talking about how you, you know, you try to fix it when Debbie left you and with the kids. And, you know, you said several months and, you know, time went by. When did you really come to the end of yourself and coming to the place where you just had to let go of it?
It took several months. I can't give you an exact date, but I remember still, okay, months go by. Okay, well, hopefully she'll wake up. Hopefully I can, let me come up with a plan. Let me send her flowers, which I did. Mm. Big bouquets here. Let me try to convince her of what we had in the past. I was trying to be real creative, and all the quirks and all the creativity and all the things of the past didn't work. So I came to the realization that I lost my wife. And so I had spent months not searching for anything, but blaming God. Why did you give me this type of life? Why did you do this? You know, really upset. And the implosion, the thing about the implosion, it's not just this one big snap bang. It's just continuous and days on end and days of reflection and days of depression. And it just starts to eat at you. And I even considered suicide, taking my life. Why should I be here? You gave me this woman and these children, and now I can't even be their dad. I don't want any other woman. I don't want any other life. This was my life. Therefore, it's gone. I'm gone. Mm. And I just kind of I traveled around and just kind of moped around, left my work, moped around, pity. And as I still prayed, funny thing is, I prayed. Those prayers weren't about, they were no longer, oh, give me back my family. They're just a lot of it was just self-pity. A lot of, and you know, the one thing about the Lord is giving him the ugly, I gave him all my ugly. And the one thing I learned during my loneliness by myself is that the Lord is faithful. Jesus loves you no matter how ugly you get with him, but be honest about it. Right. If you're upset with him, let it out. Talk to him. That's between good. You and him. And I did. And slowly but surely, he began to speak to me. It wasn't the words I wanted to hear, but he told me, I love you. And I wasn't loving him, but I knew he was there. And he kept telling, he just loved me through it all. And speaking to my heart to give in to him. You know, I was upset that Debbie left. How could she leave me? How could she not have the perseverance? How could she not help me through this? How could she not see? And the Lord shared me, I understand what you're going through, and I still love you. I know what you've been. I know your thoughts. I know your heart. And I still love you. Come to me. Yeah. Come to me. And I just couldn't do it right away. I couldn't just, and you know, and he just kept working on me, keeps speaking to me, and I would find myself reading scripture slowly. It was just such a slow buildup, a slow courtship that the Lord took me through. And I look back at those days, and I realize I am still here,
right?
And he loves me, and my love for the Lord and my relationship with him came to a point where, you know what, I don't need Debbie and the boys. I don't need titles. I don't need to be this big guy on campus. I don't need these type of things. All I need is Jesus Christ. It being real, not some fictitious thing for somebody else's, some facade. But it was real, and I just loved him. Just being with him and sharing with him and really getting in touch with him and loving him first. Then he began to open my heart to pray for Debbie as a person, not to pray for her to bring her back to me. Not to pray for the children someday they'd all work out. No, but then to honestly pray for others and have an open heart to just share with people, to reach out to people as Jesus Christ would reach out.
You started the process of just really letting go.
Yes.
And just really grabbing onto the Lord.
Now, yes.
In the midst of all of that, I mean, God was working in chemo. You know, the Lord was working in you.
Yeah.
I mean, you described in that video when your kids are running and winning all those awards, you know, and realizing, man, something's wrong here. Tell us about that.
Right. It was at Mililani High School, and it was the summer fun program. I mean, the boys are still really young. And, you know, they hadn't run track before, but they're all, I mean, they were barefoot. You know, it wasn't like, you know, in the spikes and all that. Mm-hmm. And they were taking every heat they were in where, you know, they would get to the elimination one and then they would win it, you know, and then they're on the person. And I'm like, this is what chemo needs to see. You know, this is what he deserves to see, because I know he longed for it. He longed to, you know, see his boys do well and just naturally, not, you know, that it's expected and, you know, you're reprimanded if you don't get it. But just to see that, you know, they're just out there, they're running and look, you know, and my heart just really just sank at that point for chemo, and I, you know, initiated communication with chemo.
So you were living in Hawaii.
Yes,
he was in California.
Correct.
Now, you know, the process, because you're seeing this happen in Mililani. He's there in California. He's going through this. Now, you talked about months. You know, that the process, because the depth of your understanding of your relationship with Jesus Christ now is really, I mean, it's like a no-nonsense, tight, intimate relationship.
Yes.
Because you released everything where everything was taken, and then you put Christ is now in the center of your life. What's the process like? How long did it take?
Four years. I was very stubborn. It took a while. Each little bit he would take and process and help me through, and then the next thing and the next thing, you know, you lose heart, you know. There's times where I can't breathe, like, you know, and you see the ugliness of who you are, and that's part of the process. You need to see the ugly who you are, accept that, and then give it to him. You can't just give him something without knowing. The Lord don't want something that you don't know about yourself. He wants you to know, and then he wants it, and give it to him.
You know, it's amazing, you know, when you coming to that, took you 4 years. We live in such a society, we want everything fast. We want a quick fix, you know, microwave that thing. You know, we want to do it real quick. But God had you on a slow process. And, you know, it's like why, you know, the Lord didn't answer right away. Maybe he wanted to work deeper in you, chemo,
to
allow that process to go.
And you know why? I think because in my life, and Debbie can attest, I used to brag about whatever I want, I can go get. Whatever it is I need to obtain, I can go get. If I need to study harder, I could study till, you know, I don't need sleep. Whatever it took, whether it was intellectual or physical. And because I found a key that I thought, hey, just work hard.
And
you can get it. You can achieve it. And I couldn't. You cannot manipulate the Lord. You there's nothing you can do or say that's going to speed the process up. And I had a very difficult upbringing that was never addressed. Different things had happened that, unbeknownst to my father, my father didn't know I was molested, none of those things. But you know what? The Lord still needed to deal with that. He still needed to help me through that. And that's not just a lickety-split fix. And you know what? I'm better because of it. I'm more open. I used to think that I was an open person, but I truly believe that I am now. I try to be as transparent as possible and share as much as I can to others, to help others, that hopefully I can be a blessing to others and give back.
Kimo, you said, you know, you're talking, somebody might be thinking, okay, how many months did it take? Brother, you said like 4 years, And we got your side. I'm really interested to know what happened in Debbie Pisseno's heart in that process. What went on?
Well, probably during that time, obviously, I was still in California for a while, and I remember, you know, taking the boys to the beach and stuff like that, and I wouldn't drive straight out west because it didn't seem like the beach. You know, growing up in Hawaii, and you go to this beach where it's cold, overcast, I couldn't deal with that, so I would actually drive them south to L.A., and I remember just sitting there on the beach one day, and they're just kind of playing in the water, you know, and I just thought, I think the Lord wants me to go back to Hawaii. We don't need to be in California anymore. And I went in to work that Monday, and there was an open job here at the refinery. Growing up here, I didn't even know Chevron had a refinery in Hawaii. So I was like, okay.
I suppose many do not.
And so it was interesting because I knew the Lord blessed me through it. The Lord carried me through even getting that job. Because one, I was what's known as upstream, where you're getting oil out of the ground. And now here for a refinery, that's downstream, where you're making product out of the crude. Mm. I have no experience in that. It's all part of Chevron, but it's still kind of a stretch, yeah. Right? But they flew me out here. I interviewed, and I have to admit, I felt so confident in this interview, and I've never been like that. Mm. And I got the job. They moved me from California to here. So, because, you know, that was my other thing. How am I going to raise four kids by myself and to go back to Hawaii where, you know, Kimo and I left Hawaii because we couldn't afford, you know, living here. But the Lord brought me back here, you know, then with the support of my family and everything. So, and in those years, of course, I'm busy in working full time and taking care of four kids in different age groups from, you know, some are in school, some preschool still, and, you know, all that. So I've consumed myself with that. But, you know, still putting them in activities that I know Kimo would want them in. You know, they played soccer at a young age. You know, they, you know, obviously I put them in summer fun and, you know, got an opportunity to run track. So that's how it all kind of went for me.
So those days just kind of clipped along. Right. Because you were busy with four boys.
Right.
Wide age, is there kind of a wide age range too, right?
Yes.
And then work.
Yep.
And how was your spiritual life at that time?
It was pretty weak, I would say, because I'm, you know, letting everything else be my priority. One, I know I got to work to bring home, you know, bacon. Right. And two, I got to take care of these kids. I got to take care of the house. So by the time I'm laying down, I'm exhausted. I'm going to sleep. Okay, next morning, here we go again. Mm. So it was very weak.
You know, we're going to take a break, Coach. Kimo, Debbie, when we come back, and for you who are listening right now, we want to slow down the tape a little bit because this next part, the actual coming together of this couple that was divorced for, gosh, about what, 4 or 5 years, and you've heard both their side, but I want you to hear what the Lord did to actually bring them back together. Because coming back together, it's revolutionary. The things they felt, the things they knew about more about themselves, the way there was a certain kind of openness with each other, are things that God miraculously does in our lives. He could do it in your life too. He could do it in your marriage. He could do it in any broken relationship. Stay with us. You'll hear from Kimo and Debbie when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the good life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm here with Kimo and Debbie Piceno and my co-host Alfredo Canencia. Kimo, Debbie, let's go right into it. How did you guys come back together?
Well, first, being faithful in Christ, being obedient to the Lord, and seeking Him first above everything else, and letting that be real and let that resonate in your heart and your mind. Let that be the first thing. Let Him be the first thing you speak to in the morning. Let Him be the last thing you speak of. Let that and it'll start to work, whether it's your marriage or not. But see, I learned to develop my relationship with Him because He is God of all, and to thank Him and love Him because He is God, not for anything He does for you at all, but to just love Him because He's God. That's what I learned, just to love Him and just appreciate Him that I have breath, and let that and let Him just minister to your heart. And as I developed my relationship with Him and walk with Him, and I see those days are so intimate to me, and they're so fond to me, and just loving Him and feeling His love, because I couldn't feel His love. It took a while, but once I opened up and see that He is God, and see how much He loved me, I could feel His love, and I could in turn love Him, and just to pray with Him and speak with Him on an unselfish level, and began to pray for Debbie and the boys and just for their protection, and that they would do well as people, not to be reconciled, nothing like that. And I think that's where, and because I didn't expect it. It was unexpected. Yeah. It was unexpected. I wasn't praying for a return, but just that, you know, that the, God would love her and take care of her all the days of her life, and the boys. And, you know, the unexpected, surprising phone call. And I knew already. So when I had that opportunity, I just spoke to her. And the first thing I told her was that I love her. I love you. And we spoke like as if there was no time apart, you know.
Debbie, what prompted you to make that call?
Like I said, that day, you know, at and the summer fun, watching the boys run and do so well, I just knew I needed to reach out to Kimo. It was just in my heart. It came over me, you know, like that in an instant. And so I, you know, made contact with his sister and said, I would like to talk to Kimo. Can you let him know? Here's my, you know, number. Call me.
So you called?
So I called. I was nervous. What am I nervous about? And we spoke, and I told her I loved her. She told me she loved me, and was it in that first conversation or no? We just kind of made small steps, I think, the first conversation, because, you know, she was still hiding. But by the next conversation, I had to ask her, well, you know, what did you want? You know, she said, I want you to come home, and we didn't hesitate, and we started putting our lives back together. But I think through all of this, we learned to respect one another and take time and be open. And that's one thing that Debbie shared with me. I'm going to be open, you know, I'm going to be open to you. And I never felt I had that with her before. And even though, you know, it wasn't easy, we got back together, there's still the processes, you know, there's still, we're still processing today, but learning how to deal with those processes, taking it before the Lord, asking for forgiveness quickly, you know, and developing our relationship, knowing that we're in a process too, knowing that we're not perfect. Because I put Debbie on such a high pedestal in our first marriage that I didn't leave her any room for mistakes, because I thought she was that great. I honestly did. And and through it all, the Lord showed me, she's not perfect, bro. And, you know, and because of that, I was able to accept her all the more, because he took me through that. Yeah.
And like Kimo said, it definitely has been a process since, you know, he came home, because it was within a week or two that he was home after that. And, you know, of course, initially it's the excitement. It's like a honeymoon phase again. But then really sitting down and dealing with, you know, the past, you know, what we've been through, where are we at now, and how are we going to do this together?
I can't imagine what kind of hope filled the hearts of your the boys.
And one thing I remember Debbie telling me when we sat down, and, you know, whether it was a day or two after we looked at each other and said, she told me, we're not going to fail this time. We're not going to let that happen. So, okay, you know, no matter what happens. So then we begin the process. We knew that we had to come to the Lord. And it wasn't easy trying to find the right home, trying to find the right fit. And I was having Bible study in the home and looking for a church. Because, you know, it's not that one church is better than the other. It was what fit us. You know,
and now your boys are just really exploding on the scene, the football scene. Keone and Ikaika, of course. Kaipo is the older brother, and then you got young Kaleo. And I just, you know, Coach and I, we want to congratulate you on the way that you have allowed the Lord.
Awesome.
And congratulate you on the success of your boys, really, and what they're doing in sports. You're going to hear the names of the Piceno boys, you know, in the news in the days to come. But, you know, Kimo, Debbie, thank you for sharing your life. I know it's not easy to talk about these things. We've gone back, brought up some really rough stuff, but the hope of Christ. Yes. Thank you for being with us today.
You. God bless.
You know, in the next few days, you're going to continue to hear stories upon stories. Hope, life, renewal, things that are inspired and encouraged. I want you to invite someone to listen in. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. And that's why you can download this show and send it as a way to reach out to someone to help comfort, strengthen them. And if you'd like to help us send this to more people, you can go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Get your free download and also check out how you can be a partner with us. Job 42, 1 and 2 says, Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. What a beautiful plan God has for Kimo and Debbie and their family. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guests, Kimo and Debbie Piceno. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Alfredo Canencia and our technical producer Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
With host Danny Yamashiro, we hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll lead you, Lord.
In the next few days, you're going to hear other stories from people like Kimo and Debbie about making it through with Christ's help in the tough times of life. I want to encourage you to invite someone to listen in and be inspired. This has been part two of a two-part series, Letting Go. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you'd like to be a part of helping someone with this show, to hear it, to access the resources, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. Job 42, 1 and 2 says, Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guests, Kimo and Debbie Pisano. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and our technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.